First, I want to recognize my co-principal investigator, Jim Krieger, the Neighborhood House team. This is the community-based organization we worked with in Seattle. The Seattle Housing Authority, which got the original HOPE 6 grant to make this natural experiment possible, King County Public Health, where Jim works, Lynn Song and Carol Allen helped a lot there, and the University of Washington with their laboratory team. Over the years at APHA, we presented a lot of this information, the Healthy Homes 1, which was a test of community health worker interventions. Both this Healthy Homes 1 and Healthy Homes 2 are randomized control trials. and the results of Healthy Homes 2, you'll hear from Jim Krieger hopefully soon about that. The bottom line is that, in fact, the environmental interventions do provide an incremental benefit over an optimized medical care plan. we tried to do the in-home interventions and had some trouble with this project. I won't go further on that. What I want to talk about today is the Breathe Easy Homes, which just had their exits in September. So the data that you'll see today has never been seen before, and unfortunately it's also not all there yet, but we'll give you some of the highlights. So as I mentioned, the project is a natural experiment that came our way because of a HOPE 6 project building 1,600 new units in West Seattle. We were able to have 35 of those units designed specifically under our recommendations to reduce asthma triggers, and these we call the Breathe Easy units. And we're thinking maybe we should put a trademark after that, but as a researcher, it's hard for me to get in on that side. In any event, we have 35 Breathe Easy units now in phase one that I'll report on today, and there are 25 more units in the pipeline that will help our numbers. The idea was to assess the impact of new housing on general on asthma-related health status, but also Jim will be reporting later on an NIEHS-funded study that looked at the benefits to the community in general on general health status, walkability, social cohesion, and capital, that sort of thing. So in the evaluation of the Breathe Easy Homes, we have pre-post assessment design. The cases were evaluated over 1 year prior to moving into their new home. That was with the community health worker intervention. So we wanted to have that measured and perhaps reduce some of what people have called the Hawthorne effect. we had some difficulties in this enrollment. Only 35% of the cases were enrolled for the full year. I'm sorry, 65% were enrolled for the full year prior. 35% were enrolled just prior to their move into the new home. The cases were evaluated over a year in their new units. They had additional educational visits by the community health worker to help them adjust to the technologies in the new units. The outcome measures we measured were asthma-related health outcomes that you've heard referred to, symptom days in the previous 2 weeks, urgent and emergent clinic visits in the previous 3 months, and caretaker quality of life. We also have methacholine challenge and spirometry, which I won't be able to report on today. We have changes in the home environment measured through inspection and questionnaires, as well as dust measurements, and we have changes in participant behaviors and knowledge. We recruited families initially from the community around High Point. They were slated to be moved. They had already actually been moved once in order to clear the site for construction. And we also had to recruit from other community health clinics around Seattle. In the first year, they were in their old home. We had our educational program with the community health workers that's been previously described and published. And in the year two, they moved into the new home where we had 1 year of assessment. I should say these were children ages 3 to 17 at enrollment. They were all low income, all renters. So So what is a community health worker visit? These are 5 to 9 visits over 1 year. They assess the home environment and develop an action plan to specifically address the exposures that the tenants are interested in addressing and have the resources to address. They offer education, behavior change modification, dust control, and there is a review of this action plan periodically over the course of the year. Here we see some of the community health workers putting on a mattress cover. They also got low-emission vacuum cleaners, the dirt finder here. It has the light sensor that tells you when you're clean. Microfiltration vacuum bags, commercial doormat, and cleaning supplies. So this is the Breathe Easy home. I should say that the baseline home in High Point is pretty darn healthy itself. It's an Energy Star home. It's built to stay dry in Seattle's environment. So you're starting with a high-quality home. And on top of that, we added about $5,000 to $7,000 worth of improvements that I'll outline here. So starting at the floor, actually below the floor, we have an R10 insulated foams over the between the concrete and the ground to make sure that there's no vapor inside the home from the temperature differential. We have a walk-off doormat. Only carpeting was on the stairwell for safety purposes. The rest of the floor was a marmoleum, which we found to be an excellent, well-received product. We were very nervous about taking out people's carpets, actually, in the cold Seattle's winter. But we didn't have a problem with that. We also had low volatile emission compounds on the paints as well as the cabinetry, ventilation in all the moisture-producing areas. This ventilation generally is automatic, in other words, humidity controlled. We have high-quality insulated windows with an insulation factor of 0.3 UV. We have the most expensive component is the HVAC system. This is a heat recovery ventilation system with HEPA filtration, so it's bringing in about 1/3 air changes per hour of HEPA filtered air. So I'm just going to zip through some of the construction process. You'll see here, this is the slab about to be laid, so you have gravel drainage, and then they'll put down this barrier, and then on top of that will go 2-inch foam, and then the concrete on top. And this is what the pad looks like after all that's been done. There a lot of attention is paid to the flashing and keeping things dry, both in the construction phase as well as for afterwards. We were able to talk with the contractors, meet with them about keeping materials dry, tell them why we were interested in this. I did a little asthma lecture for the contractors that was kind of interesting. Throughout the process, keep up with what was going on inside. This is the ventilation unit, and this is really some of the more challenging aspects of the design because they didn't actually design all the ductwork until they had finished building. It's kind of a problem. we would not recommend that. In any event, there was care taken during the construction to keep things dry, both the materials before they were used, but then before the drywall went up, for example, the homes were completely dried out. This is not always done. and the care was taken throughout. The contractor's name was Absure, so this absolutely was crossed out here. It says absolutely no smoking in these homes. And this is one of the first studies we've done where we've actually been able to control smoking. It was part of the lease agreement. So this is a new Breathe Easy home. You can see it. Really nice. It's in a neighborhood with mixed income. These particular families, as I mentioned, are 200% more below poverty, but the neighborhoods are completely mixed. The Breathe Easy homes look like every other home. You don't have a little sign on your door that says I'm asthmatic. Behaviors are changing in the homes in terms of keeping shoes out. This gives you an idea of the flooring. Unfortunately, the lighting is pretty terrible here, but it looks good on my screen. I guess more of the marmoleum here and cabinetry with the low volatile emission compounds, and sort of our key feature, I think, is this ventilation system. to keep the air exchanges going. And here gives you an idea of the old homes. This is a Boeing wartime construction, again, like the Quonset huts in Denver, not meant to be used still. They're actually 20 years out of date, but this is where folks have been living primarily, and here you can see the contrast, some of the new homes. And as of today, this is all cleared out, and phase two is going up. So a little bit on results here. Just to give you an idea of the diversity of the community, less than half spoke English, and you can see a number of diverse populations here. The parent education group, only 20% had college or more. Only 47% were employed. In the baseline asthma severity, this was with our asthma severity with the 22 that we enrolled for one full year in their old home. We had fairly significant asthma and quite a bit of a reduction in the, this is NAEPP classification, quite a significant reduction in the exit. This gives you an idea of how bad these homes were. The yellow and the gray are in the old home. And so you can see that 87% had visible mold at the time of our first visit. And we were able to make some impact on that in the old home with our community health worker. But if you look at these indicators, most of this is fairly modest impact with the community health worker, but then quite dramatic impacts on the, particularly the moisture side of things, with the new Breathe Easy home. We were also able to eliminate rodents, and this is something we've really never been able to eliminate in previous studies. And again, it was the lease agreement. You just can't have furry pets, and it worked. So here's some of the health endpoints, and again, this is symptom-free days in the previous 2 weeks. All of the symptoms that you've heard from previous presenters combined, and as you can see, the community health worker, we were not able to demonstrate an impact clinically, unlike our previous studies, and we're still analyzing this and have to figure out what that's about. We were able to make an impact on the asthma trigger exposure. This is a trigger score including the presence of rodent, roach, pet, mold, or moisture. Those were significantly reduced in the community health worker intervention. But as you can see, quite dramatic effects, as you might expect, with the new Breathe Easy home. This is another way of looking at that. Symptom-free days significantly improved. From 6 to 12 urgent and emergent clinic visits. This is a combination over the whole group of recall of the previous 3 months of whether you've had to take an unscheduled clinic visit, go to the emergency room, and that was also dramatically reduced. Caretaker quality of life using the Juniper scale was significantly improved. And the asthma trigger score, as I mentioned, is dramatically reduced. So what are the limitations? Some of these have been discussed already, and I hope we have some time for discussion on these points. The necessity of the pre-post design limits our ability to interpret the relationship between the trigger reduction and the clinical responses. We had difficulty with the rolling enrollment process and dropouts in year one. This was a community not too dissimilar from that described in Denver with a lot of turnover. So even with the new home dangling out there as an incentive, we lost almost half of our baseline in year one. Through the home environmental assessment was not performed by the same community health worker who was doing the educational visits. Even though we were able to have a different assessor, it's impossible, of course, to blind someone from the fact that it's a new home. So the assessors are not blinded to that. And we were not able to control at this stage in our analysis anyway for outdoor asthma triggers, particularly air pollution events. We do have the capacity to do that now with the new daily EPA data and geolocation, so we hope to get to that as well. So I'll stop there. But I did just want to read an account from one of our clients, Marlena Okimoff, about her son Jordy, who is 16 years old today. They moved into their Breathe Easy home in April 2006. And she described at an event we had his improvement. She says, quote, "The improvement happened right away. As Jordy got the rest he needed, he became more confident in sports, plus at his job, he could perform the coastal Salish dances at the Tillicum Village on Blake Island, whereas before he could only watch from the sidelines and see his coworkers dance, and he continued cleaning off tables. Now he participates and is able to rotate all the duties just like his coworkers. But it was like that many times for us. We would go to places and always be enjoying the fun, and then we would have to cut it short because his asthma flare-ups, and we would rush home to put him on his nebulizer. In fact, since we moved to the Breathe Easy home, we never had to take out the nebulizer, not once. I am so happy. He is happy, and it takes a load off everything." Thank you. I think the flooring costs are a red herring, actually. The flooring, the difference in costs is for these units was about $150. So it's a problem, I think, with the lobby, perhaps, in your area. On the heat recovery, that is the most expensive component of this. Our system costs about $2,500. So we actually have, in phase two, looked at a cheaper system and one that should be as effective. We'll see how that goes. The money came from HUD. I mean, this was a grant, a demonstration project. But again, if you're building a new home, these homes cost between $120,000 and $150,000 to build. And so you're adding on another $5,000 to $7,000. Not a great increment, really, when you put it all together. Well, you have to start talking about the clinical benefits, right? I didn't talk about the cost savings from reduction in urgent and emergent clinic visits. So just an emergency room visit these days is running in the $400 to $500 range. So, you know, it is a problem of whose pot is paying for what, but you know, when we get national health care in this country and it's integrated with our housing policy, it'll be a great day. Yeah. Jim, do you want to mention about your plans there? carpeting that they brought from wherever. And we haven't gone back to analyze the tripping hazards. We haven't had any reported incidents, but that is an issue. Our education does talk about that as part of what we do, and we obviously focus on the cleanability of those rugs. So, yeah, there is a bit of a trade-off. The reason that we have carpeting on the stairs is just for that sort of thing. You know, obviously this is not the definitive study about what materials you should use. We have one example of a flooring material that seems to work well. By the way, Marmoleum is made with linseed products only. So it's a pressure construction for the product, and so it doesn't use the adhesives that you see in some of these others. These homes are the Built Green trademark, which you can look up on the web and see all the characteristics of what Built Green, one word, is. There is a lot of work, I think, to be done in this arena of design and material work. There's fabulous work coming out of the Netherlands in this area. I would highly recommend looking at the product lists that have been approved by the Dutch government. Because they have done the testing to address a lot of the issues that you raised in your question.
Actually, at this point, maybe we can open it up to all of the presenters. I know Laurie didn't have a chance to take any questions. And they've done some great work with putting in the insurance page, the environmental intervention for one thing. So let's open it up.
Yeah, Peter. So if I can ask you a question, since we're opening it up to everybody, the moderator on the spot, is HUD collecting data on the costs associated with constructing housing, not only just in terms of material, but also in terms of techniques like building dry and whatever extra time it takes? Are you systematically, when you do these programs, are you looking at those comprehensive construction costs?
Well, we don't. We have very few grantees that are actually building new units from scratch. I think the only other grantee that I know of is Advanced Energy in North Carolina, working with Habitat for Humanity, and they certainly can separate out the costs of the extra components. Similar idea to the Breathe Easy home.
But also the time, for example, the time materials in terms of building dry,
well, that's something hopefully we can get from this project, the Hope 6 project. But we're not collecting that information. But it's a great point. And those are two projects, like I said, that I know of there working with new construction.
This is a really important point because there is a lot that could be done without much money, right? And it has to do with building code and regulations at the local level. And it's really, we found, been sort of an awakening for many of these contractors and the regulators on the local level that, in fact, there are asthma aspects to all the things that they've been thinking about from a totally different perspective. So I think effort on the local building codes is an important area for improving asthma in children.
About 1%
can answer that. Unfortunately, we couldn't present that data yet because we don't have that analysis done, but dust mites are a big problem in the Northwest as well, particularly DIRP-1. We don't actually have DIRF. But it's not as great a problem nor as great a response as we might like to see. I recently reviewed a meta-analysis of this, and only including adult asthma, only about 4% of asthma can be attributed to dust mites. And so for a while we thought it was low-hanging fruit. We got the technology. It's been clinically shown to work, at least in kids. But it's such a small part of what we do. We really think that the comprehensive intervention is key. And if you look at the studies, most of those that have focused on single exposures have not been successful. And I think this recent analysis that HUD was involved in, looking at the sort of differences in the low-income triggers that are important, the rodent, mouse, and a roach, those pests, as opposed to the pets and dust mites, is an important lesson for those of us working in low-income families. Well, I mean, this is the classic conflict of jurisdictions, and yes, fans do make the numbers go wacky, and you really have to get everybody in the same room, and ventilation people can understand air changes per hour. That's a language they speak, and you can measure air changes per hour and run your bathroom ventilation fan. So it. No, I know. Well, I would also remind the energy people of, they actually are the ones that got us here in the 70s. So, if you review some of the lessons from the 70s on tight buildings with them, I mean, you've got to find a happy medium. I mean, if your ventilation people can give you a uniform reduction in home moisture, that is the bottom line for asthma, then there's a basis for negotiating the way fans are used. I think the other issue with using these fans is the who's controlling them. So, for example, our ventilation switch enables the family actually to switch off the ventilation, which is a very bad idea because then you actually have zero air changes per hour because it is a tight building. So we're putting up plastic covers so that the tenants can't actually do that. But the same holds true for the bathroom and kitchen fans. You want to use them when they're needed, but not when they're not needed. And some of that requires automation. And the humidity-controlled switches are one way of doing that.